We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The 5 o'clock fire is sponsored by Bayway Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Pasadena. Ask for the Lincoln Stall Guarantee.
When the work whistle blows, we've got the hottest Houston sports stories you need to know. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Time for the hottest sports stories in the city of Houston. Chris Turner,
baby.
Jeremy Branham with the 5 o'clock fire. 3 days away from the Houston Texans and the Tennessee Titans playing for the top spot in the AFC South. And it's time. Look, contender stuff, that's all out the back door. Where do the Texans stack up against the AFC's top teams in Baltimore, Kansas City, New England? Forget all that. It's time to worry about your own division. Sweep your own front porch and win the AFC South.
You're exactly right, JB. I mean, at the end of the day, first round buys out the window. It's no longer about the top of the AFC. It's no longer about signature wins. They got to play well to save their season. They got a good chance to finish as the four seed, which would put them in place to play the Buffalo Bills at home. If they could win out and with a little bit of help from the Chiefs, they could slip into a three seed possibly. But when it's all said and done, man, this thing is about playing well and playing consistent football. Here's the things when you look at it. Win, lose, or draw these next three games. If you get to round one and you're not playing quality, high-level football, which you're very capable of playing, then you're going to be one and done just like you were last year. And it's going to look on paper and it's going to feel like another year of the same old stuff. You're just good enough to get there, but you ain't good enough to make any noise in the postseason. And so you're right, man. It's not about top of the AFC. It's not about signature wins. It's about playing well, playing consistent to save your season and giving yourself an opportunity to hopefully improve upon 2018.
Ocho perfectly described the Houston Texans to us on the text line at 713-572-4610. I'm a little disheartened that I had to read it. I'm a little bit discouraged that I read it. He was making a comparison of the Houston Texans to a former boxer because we said Spoken Joe Frazier. He said that he's more like a Corey. Corey was a solid boxer but could never be a champion. Like, he was the almost boxer, could never really get over the top. And what those are called in boxing are gatekeepers. The Texans are the gatekeeper of the AFC. They're the almost team. They've almost done it. They've almost been there. They've had a nice, you know, resume. It's been pretty good. But at the end of the day, they're the gatekeepers for the true contenders in the AFC.
Yeah, look, and that's who they're going to be until they prove to the NFL that there's something different, right? I mean, let's break it down. The defense is simply not good.
It's not good.
I mean, they're just not good. They're 25th in defense and pass defense both, and that's with according to the DVOA, heading into the Broncos game. So you know it's worse than 25th. Right now, since Watt went down, check these numbers. Since Watt went down versus the Raiders, they're 28th in sack rate. They're 29th in pressure rate. They're last in the league with a 21.5% pass rush win rate. And so some people sitting out there listening are going, well, damn, what does all that mean? Who cares? When you're 28th and you're 29th and you're last in the league and it all has to do with sacks and pressure in the quarterback, you ain't getting the job done. And so this defense is just simply not playing good football right now. I don't know where they're going to find the ability to pressure the passer. I don't know if it's a scheme adjustment and you play coverage. Didn't work out last week, obviously. A lot of that had to do with the linebackers. I don't know what the equation is, or I don't know what the formula is for this defense to improve. But right now, they flat out stink, and they have for the last few games.
I'd like to say all that stuff is unacceptable, but where is the fix? Where is the answer? That doesn't grow on trees. You can't just go pluck that right now.
You're up 28-9 versus New England. And I know New England, when you look at them, they are from a explosive standpoint, and they're just not very good offensively. So it's not like you moved mountains stopping New England, but you held them to 28-9. and you had them in check, and then all of a sudden they had a bad run in the fourth quarter, and they had a bad run for four quarters against Denver, and now we're talking about how terrible the defense is. And so that's how this thing works. And until they prove you any different, without J.J. Watt, without Jadeveon Clowney, they're struggling right now, and they're going to have to turn the corner right there. So that's where it starts, man, is if they can't tune things up on the defensive side of the football, they're going to have a hard time splitting. You're right. Yeah, I'm right. They're going to have a hard time splitting,
man,
versus the Tennessee Titans if they can't tune things up on this defense.
Could you imagine how bad it would be if the Texans get swept by the Titans twice in 3 weeks with the division on the line?
Yeah, I can imagine
how brutal.
Yeah, I could imagine how. I mean, it can be it could be a bigger picture and a bigger sample size of how bad it was when I was sitting in them stands watching the Denver Broncos drag. I'm like, I said I wasn't going to talk about that again, didn't I? Sorry about that.
I told you, you're not going to be able to forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's awful, man. And I mean, let's build some suspense here. What if they lose this week, and then they beat Tampa, and then J.J. Watt comes back and solves all the problems in a week 16 versus, or I guess week 17 versus the Tennessee Titans.
And you stumble into the playoffs at 9-7.
Yeah, I do not care about how you get there. I said that 6 months ago. I do not care how you get there. I care about the product on the field. Last week was a perfect example of what I'm talking about. That ain't it.
Yeah.
That cannot be possible. Like that can never happen again with this football team moving forward. And so I don't care how you get there. If you're playing better football when that time comes and what you were in 2018 when that time came, then you're in good hands, and I think it's a win. But if you're not, and it's not looking good, last time we saw you on the field, you damn sure weren't. So if you're not, then things get real hot over off Kirby at NRG.
I'm a product on the field guy too. Like that to me, the eye test to me, when you're watching and you're seeing the product that they're delivering, that carries so much weight. Like last year, the Texans had the 9-game winning streak. That was great. No one takes away what the Texans were doing, but they were beating some mediocre competition. You can see some of the problems that they had that were going to later come back to bite them, and they did bite them in the wild card round against the Colts. Last year's 11-5 wouldn't be the same as this year's 11-5 if the Texans get there, but that means they would have to win the final three games. That means they would have to sweep the Titans and also go into Tampa to knock off the Bucs. You bring up J.J. Watt. I was thinking about J.J. Watt earlier as I was looking at some of the defensive numbers, because like you said, the numbers are simply bad. Like, let's throw the numbers out. The Texans defense has been bad, especially getting to the quarterback. I started to wonder, like, J.J. Watt came out when the Texans played on a Sunday Night Football against the Patriots. He said that he could come back maybe as late or maybe as early as like week 17 of the regular season, but by the playoffs. What if he doesn't come back? What if all of that stuff he said, yeah, I'm working really hard. I'm ahead of rehab. If they give me the green light, I'm going to play. The reports that he could be back. What if he doesn't come back? What's that? That's a pop in the bubble.
Well, I tell you what, if I'm J.J. Watt and I stood on that sideline and watched what I watched last week. Oh, I said I wasn't going to mention that again. My bad. I'll be damned if I would come back and risk injuring my pec again. I'll be damned. There ain't no way. I mean, it's
really.
Yeah.
Even if you're going to be a playoff team.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, look, if the playoffs are there and you got a chance to win, yeah, I'm coming back. But they've got some convincing to do. What I'm saying is, if this team doesn't improve, which I fully expect them to improve in this week's outing versus Tennessee, win, lose, or draw, they'll improve significantly on what they did. But all I'm saying is, if you get another performance like you got last week versus Baltimore, yeah, if I'm J.J. Watt, it definitely weighs in on my decision to what I do. You can't play like that, man.
Man.
It's unacceptable. You can't play like that.
That would be a kick in the gut for many people across the city of Houston. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham, 5 o'clock fire, the biggest sports stories in the city of Houston. Last night, James Harden did James Harden things. They saved him from a disaster, or could have been a disastrous loss against the lowly Cleveland Cavaliers. Rockets nearly lost to him, but James Harden, 55 points. To me, the story was that he only took 5 free throws in the game and scored 55 points. The Rockets have no business eking out a win against Cleveland, but you got to give credit to a guy scoring 55 points like James Harden did.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I'll tell you what the story is, my brother, is the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter, 20 points, 7 of 8 from the field, 4 of 4 from the three-point line, and for me, I've been critical of James Harden. I think everybody's been. Everybody that follows basketball, that covers the Rockets, if you're not critical of James Harden late in games and taking the bull by the horns, being aggressive when the game's on the line, then you ain't watching the same game that I'm watching over the last couple of years. So I think everybody, I think that's fair criticism of James Harden. And so for me, being a guy that it's very entertaining the way he plays the game. I have a hard time greatly appreciating, or I have a hard time preferring ISO ball over move the ball, move without the ball, motion style of offense personally. But I can get over that, and I can say I thoroughly enjoy James Harden and his ability to score the rock. I can enjoy and appreciate greatness when I'm watching it, okay? But when it's all said and done, if he doesn't answer the bell in the fourth quarter, it's all for none, right? I hear all these – I read something this morning where somebody was putting him in the same category as an ISO score with three or four great players, and rightfully so, great players of all time, and rightfully so. But those other cats all had championships, right? So it took everything I had not to go, but so when I see Harden doing his thing in the fourth quarter and scoring 20 points and outscoring the opponent by himself in the fourth quarter, taking eight shots. Grady made seven, but taking eight shots, taking four three-point shots. Great, he made every single one of them in the fourth quarter, but being aggressive when the game's on the line is absolutely beautiful when I'm watching Harden and the Rockets play ball.
You know, the numbers would tell you that Harden has been a good scorer in the fourth quarter. He leads the league in the fourth quarter scoring this year. He was second to LeBron last year, but normally I'm the number guy, but there's moments when he just kind of disappears, and sometimes it's not in these games against Cleveland. Maybe, you know, it's game 44 of the season. Maybe he does hit a big game-winning shot. Like, he had that big game winner last year against Golden State where he's like, this is my floor. I own this, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, the playoffs always come into play when you talk about Harden. He has a history of kind of disappearing in the big
spots. Here's
the
deal. If you get in a conversation with anybody about Harden and they want to throw numbers out, you're never going to win.
Right.
His numbers are always going to trump anything you say.
That's
so
true.
When you talk about moments where he disappears, yeah, but this stat. Well, you can't argue with that right there. Here's the other thing that was really impressive. Some people will say that the Cavs crumbled in the final minutes of the game. They had three turnovers in the last minute of the game. The Rockets had to take the lead and stretch it out a little bit at the very end. I choose to believe that the Rockets turned up on the defensive side of the court. The Rockets' defense, they locked them down, got a couple of steals, and sealed the victory late. It was a good win over a bad team, but it was a good win by the Rockets on the road.
Jay Williams, one of the best basketball analysts, I think, in the country, whether it's the NBA game or the college game. I put him in my top five, top ten. He had some very critical things to say about the Rockets, about James Harden and Russell Westbrook, the marriage between the two. We're going to tell you what he said next. We're going to let you listen to what he said next. Also, there's a text that just got sent in to us at 713-572-4610 that I want to run by you, Clint. I think you might find it very interesting. We do it next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Live from Philadelphia, in anticipation of the 120th meeting of Army-Navy, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner.
Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham, we are in Philly at Xfinity Live. I want to thank our friends at USAA for making the entire trip possible. Looking forward to the 120th meeting between Army and Navy. Bucket list thing I've never done, and I'm really looking forward to Saturday afternoon in the city of brotherly love.
Absolutely. I'm hoping this nice weather holds off. We got off that plane today, and it was up in the mid-40s and our low 40s, and it felt nice outside. I'm just hoping it ain't a little too chilly for you, boy. You know, I got a little thin skin when it comes to that weather, man.
I felt very much when I got softer off that plane.
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
I'll go all the way to freezing temperature. You start get the ice is whenever I start calling it quits. Anything down to about 30, 35, I'm good.
I had to check a bag today, so I brought my gear, though, so I'm locked and loaded. Ready for the Army, Navy, no doubt.
By the way, you called me a diva earlier on the show. You're the guy who checked the bag. You're the one who checked the bag.
I mean, we're here for 3 days. I have no idea what the weather is. I have no idea what kind of events we have to go. So I've got everything from my J's and a hoodie to a damn sport coat, man. I mean, I don't know what you want me to do. I came locked and loaded. You can't leave the damn hotel room without looking in the mirror and making sure you're at least acceptable.
Options are the key to life, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I know clearly you leave the house every now and then without ever looking in a mirror. I can tell when you walk in the door, but no. I just don't. I just try not to do that very often.
With a face this pretty, you don't have to worry about what
you
wear.
Get the hell out of here, boy. Your wife done lied to your ass, boy.
Rockets beat the Cavs 116-110 yesterday. We just talked about Harden scoring the 55, only taking the 5 free throws. Still, Jay Williams, basketball analyst for ESPN, he was on Get Up earlier today, and he had some interesting thoughts on the Houston Rockets and James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
There are trust issues in Houston. Ooh. It's like a Drake song. Really trust issues. And this is why I think that CP3 was a better pairing with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Their net rating is better, but the tape shows it. So as the play develops, you're going to see loose ball here. James Harden catches the ball. Okay, he catches the ball. Now look, there is 5 seconds on the shot clock. LR, look who my man is staring at. He is staring right here at James Harden. I mean, at Russell Westbrook. 5 seconds on the shot clock, staring right at Russell Westbrook. Now, he takes a dribble. He takes a dribble. It's not even one swing. He takes a dribble. Now, we're talking about the 2016-17 MVP, correct? We're talking about one of the most prolific offensive players there is in the game. This is Batman. This is supposed to be Superman. This isn't Batman and Robin. This is Batman and Superman. That you don't even think. You swing the ball. AD is not thinking about when he gets double-teamed, swing the ball to LeBron. He just swings it. Paul George is not thinking about, do I pass the ball to Kawhi? He just swings it. My man takes a dribble, and he's thinking, is it better for me to take this shot against him one-on-one from out here in this pocket rather than pass the ball to a guy who's shooting 23% from the three-point line? He finally does it. He finally passes, but he forces it. He doesn't want to do that. Now, Russell Westbrook, it was 1-for-3 from the three-point line at that juncture. He's 1-of-4, right on mark for his shooting 25%. But that's a major issue going down the stretch. James Harden is wondering, can I trust my number two? My number two cannot shoot, which does not fit into our offense.
And you,
trust issues.
I like Jay Will. I don't know if I like Jay Will more than Carissa Thompson likes Jay Will, but I like Jay Will.
Whoa,
I think he's
hey,
a good.
Wait
I think
a
he's a good
wait
basketball
a what you, what
broadcaster.
You talking about,
I think the entire city of Houston knows what I'm talking about. If you don't, just Google it. But I like Jay Will. I think he's a good basketball analyst. That was a bit hot takey. That was a bit hot takey. You're taking a look at one play in a full 48 minutes of an NBA game, and you're breaking down that like there's some sort of trust issues. That's hot takey.
Well, I think it's inaccurate, and I think it's convenient. You know what I mean? It's one of those where, like, when you talk about LeBron and AD, they're not playing ISO ball, right? When you talk about Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, they're damn sure not playing ISO ball, right? And so the approach and the mindset of the ball dominant player in the group is totally different, right? Whether we agree with it or not, that's the case. And so first of all, I look at it like that. I believe that in this instance, if you could have saw the video, there's no doubt about it, he should have swung the ball immediately. What I'm saying is his mindset is totally different, James Harden with the Rockets, than it is any of the other players that are playing with superstar players. I don't believe it's a trust issue. I believe it is a chemistry issue. I believe it's an issue of finding out when to override your ISO ball guidelines, requirements, rules, however you want to couch it. And I think moving forward that in that situation that he would immediately swing the basketball, and that would allow Westbrook time so that he could then drive to the elbow or drive to the rack and get a higher percentage shot. The way that it unfolded, I think it's a great coaching point. I think Harden has the ability to watch and go, if I would have swung this ball immediately, Westbrook would have had options. Therefore, he would have got a higher percentage shot. The fact that I dribbled it, the fact that I second-guessed myself and then moved the rock, it forced Westbrook into a shoot now because the play clock was there, the shot clock was down, and he had to take a low percentage shot. I don't believe it's a trust issue. I believe it's a chemistry issue, and I believe it's something that they can work through.
I'm with you on that, too. And my biggest problem with that specific play, Russell Westbrook was wide open right wing. Harden took a while to give him the ball. He took the dribble, like Jay Will said, which probably wasn't the best move. Just give him the ball in a hurry or even take it on an isolation if you can beat the guy one-on-one. My biggest problem with that, though, was Russell Westbrook shooting a three. I have huge problems with Russell Westbrook shooting threes. I'm a huge Russell Westbrook fan. I've always been a Russell Westbrook fan. Whenever the entire city of Houston hated Russell Westbrook, I've always been an admirer of how he plays the game. I love his passion. I love how hard he goes. That's something that I enjoy from sports athletes that I watch. But he can't shoot. He can't shoot threes. Here's a rule I would put in play for Russell Westbrook. You get 3 3-point misses a game. You can miss up to 3 in a single game. So if you're hot, If you go 5 for 8 one night, that's fine because you get 3 misses. The moment you miss that third three, I don't want you shooting another 3 the rest of the game.
Well, there's 2 things here, right? Is one, they're missing Gordon, man.
For
I mean,
sure.
That's Gordon, or he has the ability to drive and then kick it to a guy like Gordon. When you got P.J. Tucker and you got Gordon and you've got Harden, obviously, and when you got all your pieces on the floor, it'll be interesting to see how they adjust. I just think him camping out at the three-point line right now is where Gordon would typically be. Secondly, I believe that that Harden – it's got to be play ball as usual,
yep.
But in crunch time, don't do it.
Be the
you
man.
Know, I don't give a damn. If you get 10 wide open, there's no way D'Antoni's not going to say, hey, shoot the rock if you get an open shot throughout the game. But when it comes crunch time, the end of the half, if you need to swing momentum, if for whatever reason Westbrook is cold, it's going to come down to crunch time decisions cannot – It can't consist of Westbrook shooting a three-point.
Yeah.
That shooting a three-point, that just cannot be the with all these options on this team, that cannot be what it comes to at the end of a basketball game that matters.
As much as I would like to disagree, I can't disagree with that because that's not a high-percentage shot, and especially in crunch time, it's not what you want. We had a texter earlier, 713-572-4610. And we're talking about this specific play. Harden does all of that intentionally. He doesn't want to see anyone else shine, and he doesn't want to win. He's here to make sure we don't win. Pretty ridiculous text there.
Yeah, that's strong right there. I think he does do a lot of it on purpose. I think he's, again, like his mindset as the ball dominant player in an ISO scheme, that guy's always got to be looking for the one-on-one matchup to either get to the rack or get to the free throw line or get that step back and knock down three. I mean, that's what you want the mindset of the ball dominant player being in this ISO scheme. That's what you want. It's going to take time for him to process when the timing's right to dish it and feed it and feed these other guys. And so it's I agree. He's doing it on purpose. I don't agree with the fact that the notion that he doesn't want to win. I think anybody that plays as hard as he plays, I don't care how much money they're making, anybody that gets up every morning and goes and does what these guys do, the competitive gene within them, the will to win, is elite on an elite level.
I used to bash Harden's 1-2 a lot. I did. Whenever he disappeared in Game 6 of the Western Conference semifinals against the Spurs, I bashed his 1-2 a ton. Ever since that day, I've seen maturity. I don't bash that 1-2 anymore. I do believe he has the desire to win.
I can see JB where you watch Harden in critical times, and I mean I've watched him in critical times. Literally, give the ball back to Eric Gordon and let Eric Gordon go to the rack versus Durant. I'm like, how in the hell is that? Is that what we should do in crunch time in this series versus the dynasty? Before we knew it was dying, that can't be the answer. So yeah, I mean you can question. Maybe I don't know about want to though. I think to me it's more about wanting to be that guy in crunch time,
yep,
and want the rock in your hand, win, lose, or draw. I just think he's there's been moments where he's shrunk, and given who he is in Houston, they need him to step up.
Kevin Love is on the trade block. Are you interested?
Hell yeah! If he's on the trade block, the report I saw, though, didn't include the Rockets.
Yeah, I saw the top 5, Miami, Dallas, Portland, Denver, Boston. I would be interested in Kevin Love. He's a really good basketball player.
Absolutely.
I don't think he's the second best player on a championship team, for instance, but he's a really good player. Good rebounder, can knock down the 3. But with the Texans' money issues, the cap issues, and they don't have anything to trade either. They traded all these first-rounders for Russell Westbrook.
Right.
They really
don't
have anything to send to Cleveland in a trade for Kevin Love. Yeah, he's a really good player. I think he'd be a really good fit here. I don't think it's likely with what the Rockets have in their arsenal. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, the time is now for the Houston Texans. Also, Thursday Night Football, Lamar Jackson, must-see TV, must-listen to radio tonight right here on Sports Radio 610. We discuss that next on Sports Radio 610.
Live from Philadelphia, in anticipation of the 120th meeting of Army-Navy, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner.
I'm not afraid to say every game is a must-win. I mean, this is the NFL, every game counts, especially this game, but it's especially this game because it's the next game, and also because, you know, it's the South on the line, so we want to come out and get away with it.
I love Justin Reed. I really do. I love Justin Reed. This is a must-win. I'm going to say it. I'm not a must-win guy. I'm not a must-win guy. The only time I say it's a must-win is whenever it is an absolute must-win. Like your playoff lives are on the line. Your season is on the line. But I need to see a response, man. I need to see a response after that egg you laid against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, there's no doubt, in a big way. You know, I mean, this is a – quite frankly, this is a team. And I know Tennessee's hot, and they beat Kansas City. And they've won four in a row, and they beat Indy a couple of weeks ago. You know, I know Tennessee's playing some good football right now. There's no doubt about it. But when it's all said and done with where the Texans roster is and where they've been over the last few years and compared to where Tennessee's been, I don't care who's won head-to-heads and all that kind of jive. This is a game where the Texans have an opportunity to make a statement and separate themselves from the rest of the division and really set the tone for the next few years in the division. Or
next few years, you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, they're doing well, but it's still Tannehill. He started eight games, man. I mean, I just think it's different with Vrabel in Tennessee. They're still building. They're trying to get right now where the Texans are as far as the 11 wins, the win in the division. Because, look, let's be honest, man. As disappointing as last week was, the Texans have been – they've led the division or been in the division and been in the conversation the entire season, right? They were that way last year. They've been in – outside of the first 3 weeks of the season, once it got into the meat of the season, the Texans have been right in the conversation of either winning the division or at least in the hunt. The Titans are – I mean, they've – the first 8 weeks of the season, they didn't know what the hell had hit them, right? I mean, so you're looking at a team right now that they're trying to get where the Texans are right now. They're trying to get there consistently. And so this is a game where they either show up and arrive and they prove that they're right in the conversation with the leaders of this division, or the Texans make a statement and put them back in their place and go, hey, we feel you. We know you're coming. We respect what you've done, but you ain't quite on this level yet. And so it's just one of those. There's a big-time opportunity game. I'm through with the must wins. I'm through with the signature wins. I'm through with all that. The Denver game took all of that out of me.
But this, you're calling this a statement, though. Like, this can be a statement where you let everybody else in the division know that you're still the top dog in the AFC South, which is I think that's true. I think it's a fair assessment. Do you think that that's something that's felt in that locker room, the 53 guys that are in that locker room? Like, it's easy for us to say, yeah, it's a must-win. We just heard Justin Reed say it, so he's one of the 53 that is saying it. But do they feel like, okay, we're the top team in this league, let's go prove it, or in this division, the AFC South, let's go prove it on Sunday?
Look, I mean, I know that it doesn't sit well with the fan base when you start talking about, like, Bill O'Brien. Like, what has he won, three of the last four and four of the last five?
Yeah.
Or something, four of the last six.
Four winning seasons. He has three division titles.
But he's won the division four of the last six seasons and three of the last four seasons. Something along those lines.
Yeah, if he wins this year, it'll be four of six.
Okay. But the point is that he's had a lot of success relative to winning the division, okay?
Absolutely.
And so to think that his team isn't aware of the success that they've had in the past of winning the division, they're not one aware of it and they want to improve upon it, we'd be crazy to think that, right? There's no doubt about it. They're aware of that. They're aware of that. If they don't finish this year and win the division, if they find a way to slip enough to where they give the Tennessee Titans the division, then it gets hot.
It's a failure.
No, it's a backslide on the season, not just a week. It's an epic failure. There's no doubt about it. And all of a sudden, the seats get hot in Houston. So this is a statement game. No doubt about it, this is a statement game. You just hope that it's the Texans making the statement and not the Titans.
You know who would be the first guy to tell you that it's an epic failure, too, if the Texans don't make the playoffs and they don't win this division?
Who's that?
Bill O'Brien would be the first one to tell you. He might not say it in the words that you want to hear. He might not show you the fire on the day after press conference, but he'd be the first one to tell you this isn't good enough. We traded for Laramie Tunsil. We traded two first-rounders for him. We spent a third on Duke Johnson whenever many people in the industry felt like that was overspending for a third-down running back. I don't agree with that. Duke Johnson's been a valuable piece to this team. I don't agree with that the two first rounders were too much for Tunsil. I think that's a good trade. But whenever you make those trades and you miss the playoffs, yeah, it's an epic failure, and O'Brien will be the first one to tell you.
Yeah, look, I mean, just we don't you are 100% right. Like, you don't make all those trades to miss the playoffs. And when you do, all of a sudden, the owner takes notice. Mm-hmm. The owner goes, man, we blew all that money and we're not in the playoffs. And then the owner looks around and goes, and we got skull-drug by the best team in the AFC and one of the worst teams in the AFC. Like, now all of a sudden, you're looking around and you're going, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? But look, if you just look at the Titans schedule, man, they've won some games. The Titans, they've won some games, but this is not a team. This is not a team that the Texans should be concerned about relative to winning this division. They should look at the rest of their schedule and they should say, "Damn, we're lucky. We're catching the Titans twice and the Bucks once, and we can win the division if we just split." Ultimately, that's the case. This is a football team that's beaten Cleveland, Atlanta, the Chargers, the Bucks, the Chiefs, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You caught my attention with Chiefs.
Yeah, look, the last two of the last four wins have been Kansas City Chiefs, Indianapolis Colts. Those are good wins.
Yeah.
That is literally the extent of it the entire season. You've lost some very, very disappointing games along the way. Unfortunately, as I look at it, it's just three of them, the same teams that the damn Texans have lost to, and a couple of them they got embarrassed by. But, you know, I mean, it's just, this is one of those games where you look at the rosters, you look at the sheer talent level, you look at how the season's gone, and the Texans are a step ahead of the Titans. This is a statement game for both organizations. We hope that it's the Texans that make the statement and not the Titans.
You know, I remember back to when we did a show. It was in the summer. I think it was around July 4th. It was right around the NFL schedule drop.
Damn, how'd you get that lucky?
Well, how did you get that lucky is the better question. But I remember that tweet you sent that like went viral with Tennessee Titans. You said Tennessee scares nobody because of Marcus Mariota. Well, they've made the change, and now they're scaring some folks because they have a better quarterback, and they made the upgrade there. But do you remember when we looked at that schedule, whenever we saw the schedule drop, and we said, just get to the last quarter of the year. You have four games that you should win all of them. Denver, Tennessee twice, Tampa Bay once. Because, yeah, if you're worrying about Tennessee, then you don't even really belong in the AFC. I agree with you. I think, like, Tennessee's, they're a nice team. They're all right. They've won four in a row. They're not a true contender in the AFC. They shouldn't even be to your stature in the AFC with the talent that you have compared to the talent that they have. But when we saw that schedule drop, okay, get to those last four games, be in the hunt, be in contention, and then make your hay in those final four.
Brother,
the Texans dropped the ball in the first one. They got to make up for that.
JB, I said get there. Get to the last four games of the season. Get to the fourth quarter of the season with seven wins.
That's what I was saying too.
And then you, at that point in time, you've got a good grip on where you're at, what you need to do, and you've got four winnable games to go get 11 wins and match the win total from 2018. Again, I don't give a rip if they got 10 wins or 11 wins. I don't care. But just for all the folks out there that want this team or think this team needs to win as many or more games as they won last year for it to be a success, get there with four left and seven wins. They got there with eight.
Yeah.
They got there with eight. They're ahead of the curve. And then you saw what happened last week. And so, this is a game where, I don't care if you get to 11. I don't care if you squeak by, win the division by the hair on your chin. I don't care. It does not matter. If the product on the field is one that I'm believing in and one that this fan base can feel good about and be proud of, then damn it, let's roll when the playoffs start. But if it's another backslide, one of these next three games, there's, again, major concern going into the first round of the playoffs. I don't care if it's Pittsburgh. I don't care if it's Buffalo.
If you get there,
it doesn't matter. You proved last week that if you slip, anybody in this league can beat you.
Yeah. I think you said it earlier. The Texans have proven this year that they can beat just about anybody in the league, with the exception of Baltimore, because they were right there with New Orleans on the road. They did beat the Patriots.
I'm seeing this is a mouthful now. This is a mouthful right now after that Denver game. But I still believe if you get J.J. Watt back, if you get Bradley Roby back and you get Will Fuller back.
I mean, Roby should be back, but the reason he played 75% of the snaps was not because of Bradley Roby.
Okay, let me scratch the if you get him back. All I'm saying is if those guys are on the field, I believe if you played Baltimore again, that game goes different, goes significantly more. I'm not saying you're going to win.
I'll do one further.
But that game has a significantly different outcome if all of your players are healthy on the field. And damn it, that's awfully brave of me to say that.
I'll give you another
after
one.
Last week's performance.
I'll give you more of a mouthful and a more bravado thing.
Wait, pump your brakes. Pump your brakes. You ain't giving me nothing.
Your name's on the marquee. I'm going to give you a bigger mouthful here.
You ain't giving me nothing. I'm giving you a bigger mouthful. You sicko. Get out of here.
That didn't come out the right way. I think if you score on the first possession or the first second possession in that Baltimore game, it's different. Remember, you got stops on the first couple of possessions against Lamar Jackson. Jackson looked inaccurate in that game early on. Yeah. If the Texans score first series or two, I think they have that game's completely different. And it's tough to say that when you lost 43-7 or whatever the final score is, but you put some pressure on them a little bit early, I think that's what it takes. And again, I mean, it goes back to the struggles for the Texans.
I agree.
The openings of games have been a struggle, and against good teams, I think the Titans are good, that you have to start fast. You have to start well.
I promise you this, JB, one thing that you're alluding to versus Baltimore is that you got to go into a game and be prepared at all times versus a good football team, which the Titans are a good football team. They're going to give you a couple opportunities.
Yeah.
Right? And it, when they give you those opportunities, you've got to good teams cash in, period. I don't care who you're playing. When the other team gives you an opportunity, good, high-caliber football teams, playoff-contending, division-winning, true, legit contenders, they take advantage of those opportunities, and the Texans have missed several of those, and a couple of them was early in the Baltimore game. There's no doubt about it. They didn't take advantage of an opportunity that was handed to them on a silver platter, and so there's no doubt they got to clean that up.
Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leaders, Sports Radio 610. Thursday Night Football coming up right here on Sports Radio 610. The Baltimore Ravens taking on the New York Jets. Big spread in that game. We mentioned it earlier. The Baltimore Ravens, was it 16.5-point favorites against the Jets tonight on Thursday Night Football? Looks like Vegas thinks that Lamar Jackson's going to play. He's questionable. Jackson said he's going to play. We have to assume that he is going to. Where are we watching that game, by the way?
Man, we can sit right here and watch that thing if you want to.
I can't think of a better idea, to be honest with you. But what are you looking forward to in watching Lamar Jackson tonight against that Jets defense?
Well, I mean, I think you're looking at depending on who you listen to. I watched a show this morning that said that the Jets were the number one rush defense in the league. I did some digging on ESPN and on their website, and they're the number two rush defense, at least relative to yards allowed per game. They're allowing about 78, 79 rushing yards per game. That's the Jets are. And so you've got the number one rush offense in the league going against the a top. And depending on what website you look at, I guess, whether they're number one or number two. But you got the number one offense going against one of the top run defenses in the National Football League. And so you've got a really, really good football game coming your way tonight. Look, Lamar Jackson, we said it earlier. Man, this dude reminds me of LeSean McCoy, Shady McCoy.
Did you think of that while you were in Philly, by the way?
Yeah, I did. I did think about that when I was in Philly. I figured that out. There's no doubt. But tonight, there's in this game, I mean, obviously there's a little bit of a Lamar Jackson's got a little hitch in his giddy up. He's got a quad problem. And so how they use him in that run first ground attack, then you know, we'll see. I think it'll be interesting tonight. This is going to be a fun one to watch, man.
I mean, I don't know if Le'Veon Bell's playing or not after his bowling performance on Saturday night, after he missed the game because of the flu, and then he had his flu game on the bowling alley with that 251.
Look, you get to talk about the Jets offense. Who gives a damn? I mean, good God!
I thought you liked Darnold.
I love Darnold. That's a perfect example of a very, very good quarterback going to an organization that's just, I mean, it's as dysfunctional as ever, and he'll have some good games tonight, make some good throws tonight, and play well. But it's impossible for a quarterback to overcome dysfunction. It's absolutely impossible, and it's as dysfunctional as there is out there. When you start in the NFL, when you start talking about the Washington Redskins, guess what? What's my man's name in Washington, quarterback?
You're thinking about Haskins.
Haskins, Dwayne Haskins. He can't overcome it. As good as he is, he can't overcome it. Right? I mean, same thing with Sam Darnold in New York. You can't overcome it.
That's a good point.
Same thing with Jones in New York. You cannot overcome it. Now, I understand there's a difference. It's tough to play quarterback when there's not a lot of skill around you, yada, yada, yada. I get that. But I tell you what, man, when a football team, a staff, an organization is dysfunctional, you can chalk it up. the quarterback's going to underperform.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback's so important in this league. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Le'Veon Bell, by the way, says that he is ready. He'll play. I saw some rumors, by the way, that the Jets might be looking to trade Le'Veon Bell in the offseason. That'd be an interesting piece in the Texans' backfield. I think he'd be a great
fit.
I think he'd be a great fit with how much of a weapon he is out of the backfield, catching the football, how much of a weapon he is just carrying the ball, too. Lamar Jackson, to me, I wouldn't play him. I wouldn't play Lamar Jackson today. I understand that you're probably going to be cautious. I understand that you're probably going to try to take care of him. But if Lamar Jackson, say you re-aggravate that quad injury a little bit more, your Super Bowl chances are gone. They're completely gone. You don't need this win tonight if you're Baltimore. Well, you don't have to it. I don't play Lamar Jackson tonight.
I mean, I can't argue with you. All I can give you is a little pushback. All I can tell you is that you're talking about a franchise that has some of the best doctors in the absolute world working for him. And I think if there's any risk at all, then he'll set out. By the way, Joe Burrow just won the Walter Camp Player of the Year Award. I don't know if that just was announced, but he's standing at the award ceremony talking to him right now. Joe Burrow's fixing to clean up tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
You're a Joe Burrow guy.
I do. I like Joe Burrow. Hell, what's not to like? He's playing quarterback at a high level. I mean, the thing about Joe Burrow, for me, I haven't seen him in person, like up close and personal. The question for me about Joe Burrow is everything that's going on right now, is it hype? You know, I mean, he's clearly a good player, but is he Colt McCoy, Kellen Moore, or is he Sam Darnold, Dwayne Haskins? You know, is he that caliber of a quarterback? You know, I don't know. I know he's a great quarterback. I know he's a great college quarterback. I know he can win games. He can rally the troop. He can lead his guys. He represents the university extremely well. And he can distribute the football. The question about Joe Burrow is, who is he? You know, is he one of the greatest college quarterbacks to ever play in the SEC for damn sure, because he's shattering records.
Right.
Right. Or is he a legit NFL caliber arm? I don't know. I need to see more. I know he's got great anticipation. I know he's got great accuracy. He's got great poise. Those are all things that Colt McCoy had and that Kellen Moore had. You know, is he above and beyond those guys or not? I think I got to see him in person before I make that decision.
We got a busy show tomorrow. Have you seen the guest list we have tomorrow? We have some generals from Army and Navy as we'll be in Philadelphia ahead of the 121st Army-Navy game. Jaworski is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll still have the General John McClain. We got some big guests tomorrow. Staubach's going to be on with us, Roger Staubach. I mean, we got a busy show tomorrow. Big on a football Friday, we got some big football guests.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I'm gonna soak it all in, man. This is a bucket list item for me to be here at the Army Navy game and be able to attend the game and see all that it has to offer and soak up the moment, man. I know anytime the president's coming in you know, it's this game, man. I want to just soak it all up. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, me too. It's been a bucket list thing for me for a long time.
We got Thursday night football. We got the college football awards. We got a show to do tomorrow. We got Army Navy Saturday, man. We don't deserve this, man.
You're sitting right next to me. How'd you get so lucky,
man? I don't know. I'm gonna talk to. I'm going to talk to the boss, man, try to figure out why the hell he's trying to torture me like this.
How'd you get so lucky, as you like to say? Coming up next, we'll have Texans All Access with Mark Vandermeer. John McClain, the general, the Hall of Famer, talks about why this is the biggest Texans-Titans game ever. Big statement from the general. John Harris and Mark will discuss how the numbers might shape up for the Texans-Titans game as well. Texans haven't won in Tennessee since 2005. Perhaps something that they can change coming up on Sunday. I want to thank Brian McDonald for doing all the hard work behind the glass. For my broadcast partner, Clint Sterner, I'm Jeremy Branham. Thanks for the fine folks here, too, at Xfinity Live, getting us set up, getting us ready to go. Wouldn't be possible without all of them. Also want to thank the host here at Xfinity Live and our friends over at USAA. For everybody, I'm Jeremy Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.